Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Mindset Evolution podcast where you get tools for a powerful mind. I'm Kathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me as always, Daisy Papp from America. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear friend down under. It is so lovely to see you again and I know life is happening, and I'm really grateful for you being my podcast partner. Thank you.
Life is happening, Daisy, and I'll tell you, today's episode, I think, is something that we all struggle with at times. So today I want to talk about control freaks. Now, when we say freaks, it's just a descriptor. It doesn't mean you're actually a freak if you're like this. It's just a bit of a label that's amusing that we give it. But really what we're talking about is when you constantly feel the need to be in control. And that's what makes it a freak situation, because you're doing it all the time. So I feel like it's very common for some of us, or most of us, to struggle with this sometimes. And then I think some people take it to the next level. What do you think, Daisy?
Oh, wow. Which plane do you want to talk about? The one on the next level or the one who randomly feel the need to absolutely control?
Well, I think let's ease in and let's just start with when we feel the need to do it sometimes and what that means. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about when it becomes more obsessive type of behavior.
Yeah. Well, I can speak for myself and about myself. And I do recall times where I truly believed that I needed to control. Nevertheless, then I learned that, well, life is happening either way, with or without my control. And then I realized also that it is exhausting when I focus on controlling things that I cannot control anyways. And we are now in a very interesting phase during our evolution as humanity. And then there are some weather occurrences in the skies. And it is now the time that we can allow ourselves to just sit with a question without knowing the answer. That also requires not jumping to conclusions, not projecting, not knowing it all. Oh, I remember that from the past. I'm mind reading. No, just sit with a question without an answer yet and becoming comfortable with it. Now, me 20 years ago, I was not that good at it. And I just now recently was reminded that it's really a good idea to allow ourselves to endure the question without an answer.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in quickly because you make a great point. And I think it's because of the uncertainty of life. It makes us so uncomfortable. That's why we feel this need to try and control things, right?
That's what I think. I think we agree 100% here, or I can agree with you. Now that you say that life is uncertainty, well, life is a series of uncertainties, if we like it or not. So I think it's a good idea to become more friendly with that fact and stop trying to control the uncontrollable. That does not mean that we need to give up our wish or our want or our need. It is just, okay, allow life to unfold and steer where you can steer and let go of the steering wheel when you cannot steer it anyways.
Yeah, I think so too. But I also think that one thing that we can and should control are our responses.
Oh, I just really forehead kisses, dear Kathy, because that's absolutely, yes, the self-regulation. Again, I don't think it is about control. It's about regulation. Emotions, energy in motion, when I can regulate what's happening between the body and mind connection, and then I can regulate that. That doesn't mean I need to control it, because then I think if I had to control myself, then I'm less human. It's not about control. It's about, can I regulate? Okay, something happens. There's a perception. I perceive something. and I'm not happy with it, but now I can regulate myself. Okay, first of all, is it fact? Fact. Or is it the filters through my perception? Is it true? What is truth? Let's think about that. But I think that's a different, maybe a good nighttime conversation with some other partners that we can invite to our salon talk. Now, my thought is the uncertainty is a fact. I know several things and I could be wrong, but nevertheless, so far during my lifetime, I saw a sunrise. Maybe I was asleep while it rose, but the sun rose after every sunset. The next day, the sun was up again. Maybe I was disconnected from the sun because there were clouds in between. But I think it is important that we allow things that are out of our control to be considered fact. And that is the certainty we can rely on.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you talk about self-regulating versus self-control. I think that's quite interesting because in my view and my experience, I have been in situations in my life where if not for my self-control, they would have escalated into very, very alarming circumstances, to say the least. So can you explain to our listeners what you perceive as the difference between self-control and self-regulation? Or are they just labels?
Maybe, yeah. I can agree that they could be labels, and then it depends on our interpretation of or the definition of. I think when I'm self-controlling myself, then it's almost like, this is how it must be. I'm under control. But when I'm regulating, I allow myself to feel, I allow myself to have thoughts that are maybe not very supportive at the moment, but we as humans, we have up to 70,000 thoughts a day. Now, how can I control that? It's impossible, but I can regulate. I can regulate their impact on me by, oh, it's a thought, maybe it's not very pleasant, and is it really necessary for me to spend time with it? Or I just say, okay, I acknowledge you, not shove it under the carpet or such, but I acknowledge this thought, and then I focus on a thought that makes me feel good for no reason, because the thought is just beautiful.
This is very interesting because I have recently been talking to somebody who struggles with overthinking and with his mind like going in different directions and telling him stories, and even the mind movies that you speak of have spoken of in the past. And I can't quite grasp how hard it is for him because I don't feel like I have the same issues. I find it, after many years of practice, not so hard to regulate my thoughts mostly, for the most part. It's very unusual for me to not be able to do that. And in fact, that came in very handy recently when I was skydiving. But other people I see and have talked to them about this, they really don't feel like they have that ability, or they feel like it is just out of their control, these 70,000 thoughts. And so they're really struggling with it.
The 70,000 thoughts are out of our control, but I can choose which one I want to spend time with, and I can also deny. Thank you? No, thank you.
Almost like, hi, see you later, just let it fly past you type thing.
That's a good idea. Sometimes I use that in the past on myself, and I also suggest it sometimes to clients, that when there's some thought coming in, really pondering on you and wants your attention, and yes, and you're a failure, yes, and you're a failure, or something repetitive most of the time, then I tell them, look at the clock, look at the time exactly. So for example, it is 9:25 p.m. For me right here, right now, it's 9:21. I overlooked the number. Okay, so it's 9:21 p.m. my time. I acknowledge the time and I tell myself, or I acknowledge to myself, I take care of you later. It's maybe at 3 a.m., 27 minutes and 14 and a half seconds. Most of the time, then I'm asleep and will not acknowledge the thought again. So it is important, nevertheless, that we embrace it because it's here, because it wants our attention. Yeah, I got you. I got the attention. Yeah, but I'm not spending time with you.
Do you think if you acknowledge it, it stops it repeating like that?
I don't think that it stops it, but acknowledging it is much better, based on my humble experience, than shoving it or trying to hide it under the carpet or the sofa or the sheets or elsewhere. And acknowledge it, notice the time, and set a time. I will take care of that thought at midnight, 47 minutes and 32 and a half seconds, for example. Because then you choose. You're not saying go away. Because what I'm trying to resist persists. Why would I? So I acknowledge it. I say, ah, got you. So it does not need my attention anymore, or again and over and again, and really hit my head. I'm here, I'm here. I'm getting louder and more persistent and even more important and bigger and greater and larger. My magnitude is increasing. No. I acknowledge you. I get it. And I choose to think about me walking on the beach, seeing the dolphins jumping and listening to the wind whistling through the palm leaves. And I'm having this fresh water with some lemon zest in it, and it's quenching my thirst. I choose that thought. That is regulation, I think. I'm not trying to control what I cannot control. When I want to control 70,000 thoughts, good luck with that. I don't think that I want to attempt that.
Yeah, certainly when you explain the magnitude of how much our brains really do work, it's amazing. I know that when I'm lying in bed about to go to sleep, my mind will do these like dances through these different thoughts. And often I'll try and focus on one thing, say I'm interested right now in artwork. And once I move house, I'm going to start doing like these acrylic pouring artworks. I'm really excited about it. And so when I go to bed at night, I think I'm going to think about just maybe what painting would feel like and relaxing with that and playing with paints and colors, because to me that is truly like being able to release and be creative and not have to think about anything else. And I'll watch my mind bring in these other thoughts. I'm like, hang on, no. We're thinking about painting. Back yes. to the painting.
Yes.
And I do that maybe 3 times and I've fallen asleep. And so I found that's actually helping me to do that regulation. Otherwise, your mind can go in directions and it just won't let you fall asleep, will
it? It's like a black hole. You go in and you never know where you end up. No. So I think you really put a very important point that when I'm trying to control it or I'm trying to fall asleep, and I'm trying to really hush all these thoughts away, I most likely succeed rarely. Now, when I'm, for example, I can control or regulate myself towards it. No, I stick to that thought. Interestingly, the brain, how it works for those who have challenges falling asleep. I don't want to fall asleep. No, I must stay awake. I must stay awake. I must stay awake. And interestingly, whoops, all of a sudden they sleep. We're not all the same. And I think it's a good idea to allow ourselves to practice and experiment with that. Because why not? Maybe for you it helps to think about the acrylic pouring. Well, maybe for me it's about counting sand particles on the beach or the little crystals, or see the glitter on the water when the sun is just on that angle and it seems like gold or silver or the full moon rise. So we all can choose. But now that is when I say self-regulation. That also includes that I can choose for myself. What works for you, I'm happy that it works for you. And I am responsible. I can respond, choose for myself.
Yeah. So let's talk then about when it becomes more prevalent, almost obsessive, this need to control. I feel like if someone's sort of stuck in that mode, I feel like it's a survival mode where they are stuck in their fight or flight engagement. And so in order to deal with that, they're trying to control almost everything they can in their lives. And I feel personally like it's because they're stuck in that fight or flight. Now, I think that because that did happen to me in one relationship where I truly did not feel safe. And so I did try and control anything that I could because so much other stuff I felt was out of my control. Whether it was in reality or not, it's another conversation. But really, you're operating on your instincts, I think, at this point when it gets to be that big. Would you say that's right or close?
I don't know if that's right or close. I can share with you my point of view that when you said that you didn't feel safe, I think that is a big key. Because safety, when I don't feel safe, then I may more likely hold on to anything that I can control to feel a little bit a sense of safety. I can see that. Now, I give you an example. I have house guests at the current moment and we're cooking all together and my kitchen has the size it has and I'm quite organized and that's what I'm told. And I think I like being organized, especially when it comes to the kitchen and the spices. And I have specific limitations when it comes to space. So when there's too much on the kitchen counter, then I am putting everything aside. And that may appear to my house guests as if I was a control freak. Now, I think it is a good idea when someone appears as a control freak, can you help me understand why you're doing that? Because then maybe it all of a sudden appears, oh, wow, they're not even a control freak. It makes total sense that she's putting the spices back in the cupboard because otherwise, how are we going to cut the bread or how are we going to cut the parsley for our meal and how are we going to make the dressing for the salad and how are we going to squeeze the lemon juice for our water? It is also a good idea to see, so actually, why am I doing it the way I'm doing it? Of course, we all have habits and patterns. And it's very good that we have habits and patterns because they save a lot of time. If we would have to focus on everything that we're doing totally, let's say with full awareness. So now I'm holding my hand up here. I'm not even aware of it now that I'm speaking about it. I'm aware of it. Imagine if I would have to think, okay, so now I'm holding my hand up here. I need to bend my fingers just like that. Not like that, but just like that. And not too high or not too low. That would be exhausting. We couldn't function. So I think I turn back or circle back. To it is okay not to know. When we become friendly with being okay not knowing, and when we also then allow ourselves, okay, I cannot control everything. What is it that I can control and what is it that I can let go of? What is it that I have the need to control? What is really that makes sense? What still serves me? Because many of our patterns don't serve us any longer. What you lived 20 years ago may not serve you well today. What I experienced 25 years ago may not serve me today or tomorrow or next week, next month or ever again. That's also that humbly accept so that I can be okay with it. And look, life is about life or death to a degree because we all entered here. That's why we're here because we were alive at birth and we're all heading one direction sooner or later. So there's so much joy to see and focus on. And I know of people, they try to control. Yes, so I get this anxiety in the morning and now I need to control it. Let's have a look. What's the root cause of that anxiety so you don't need to control it? And that, I think, is self-regulation. And I think that is the healthier way. Long-term, certainly.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Now, let's talk about how it can affect other people.
Big time.
Yes.
I share with you something. I recorded yesterday a program, I Free Myself and Let Go. We will put a link underneath this video and under this episode so where people can have a listen to it. I can also free myself and let go of other people attempting to control me. I can. Is there everything that we can control so that we are no longer under control? Most likely not. But the moment we are aware and we think for ourselves, instead of consuming so much from the media and fear-mongering, then it is okay to also let go of those who try to control our minds, our bodies, our health, our wealth.
I think it gets quite interesting here. And I would even say that the attempt to control is a form of manipulation.
Voila, I agree.
So how do we deal with that? Do we need to recognize that there's some manipulation going on? Or I know that when mostly, not all the time, but mostly if I feel like I'm being manipulated, something in my body like pricks up.
Good.
And notices. And I think that whether you call it sixth sense or instinct or whatever you want to call that, I think we all have that innate. And I think it's connected to that fight or flight brain. It's the prickling of your senses that something's not quite right. And I'm not saying that I can always tell, but certainly I'm getting better at it as I learn more about this stuff and become more of an observer like you've taught me to be rather than a reactor. So I think that's an interesting point. And I do think that this form of control on ourselves, but there's certainly people that do it the other way and want to control other people for their own means and gains. And I think it's a smart idea to be aware of that, especially in today's climate.
My friend told me that she saw a post somewhere online where it was a dog speaking first person singular. Of course, it was made up by a human. Yes, and I have the talent of doing this. I have the talent of noticing where the fox are when it's about a fox hunt. I have the talent of doing this. I have the talent of that. So different dogs were conversing. And then one of the dogs shared that, well, it no longer matters because our owners want us to be obedient. And all they need is someone to give orders to. And that's our fate. I found that very deep. So controlling others is, to me, not trusting that others are self-thinkers. And I get it, many people prefer not thinking for themselves, but being led and guided, sometimes misled and misguided. That comes along with that. I understand that. But if we just start focusing on ourselves and live and lead by example, all of a sudden, overnight, we would have so many more humans living and leading by example that then all of a sudden would inspire so many more people to lead and live by example for themselves. Mm-hmm. So letting go of that control. Who am I to know it better than you? I can share with you, this is my perception. This is what I think. This is my experience. This is how I like it to be done. I can get that. But controlling others is, I think, also a lack of self-security. You see, now we're going back to feeling safe and secure.
Yeah.
When I do my thing and I allow others to do their thing and let them be fully responsible, that is how they can learn. We all came here to learn through life.
Yeah. And I think that the dog story is quite interesting because if you take that scenario and apply it to your child, well, now you've got something very interesting where there are parents who want to control their children's direction, what they study, what career they're going to have. And there are other parents who just encourage the child to find what brings them joy and just support them in that discovery process. And if you just look at those two scenarios on your own, you can see a vast difference. And it then becomes very obvious what we're talking about if you think of it in that way, because children start out with none of this knowledge or conditioning, and it's what we do that changes that. And so I think that's a very obvious way of painting the picture for people to see the difference between trying to exert control and just trying to encourage and uplift and inspire people to search for themselves. And as you say, that critical thinking, I think, is paramount and is something that we all need to get better at, because that is why we're here. We're here to experience, to learn, to love, to have connections, and to discover what brings us joy, in my opinion.
Yeah, and when it's controlled, I think, it becomes rigid. There's no life in it.
And it removes some of the joy, I think.
I think so too. And that is why I think there is a big calling for, I think it's called ISO. It's like a standard for specific technologies. And I think it is time for us to agree upon or develop and implement an ISO standard of emotional intelligence. And I go back right to the 5+2. If we'd all agree upon that, and then based on that, you're not going to lie to me, you're not going to disrespect me, you're not going to be completely ignorant or lacking empathy, you're not jeopardizing neither mine nor your dignity, and you will be considerate, then that allows me to feel safe. And then I can unfold. And when I can unfold, what's the need to control here? The potential is, the sky is not the limit, I think.
I think that's a very interesting conversation, and one I've been watching a lot of stuff lately where they're discussing the need for a belief in the divine as opposed to no belief. And the point they were talking about was not so much about religion, but about this very thing. Where do we get our values from if we don't have spirituality?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think mankind needs to have a set of values that stands behind our actions to hold us accountable, to encourage positive treatment of each other instead of what seems to be happening, which seems, I see the world degenerating in all these directions. Mm. When I know and believe in how amazing human beings can be when we're inspired to our full potential. But yeah, it's been quite interesting watching these debates around these sort of issues, because I do think we are in need of a core set of values that guide us all, whether you're religious or spiritual or not.
Yeah.
We need that there, because those other things aren't as predominant as they used to be many years ago. And that was their role, I think, a large part of it. And that's slipping away from us now. And so I think that's an interesting point.
Now, we cannot control what others do, but we can better ourselves. And when every single one of us focuses on bettering themselves, then we all of a sudden meet tomorrow morning and all of us bettered ourselves. And then we may be able to have greater chances accomplishing greater things for all of us. So control is also an illusion. I think it's oftentimes tyranny. So allow others to be. And you just set an example by living and leading by example. Be the sample. Be the one who shows that human values are valued by you.
Yeah.
That is something that you can learn. All of us can learn and better ourselves. I'm not perfect by no means. I'm here to learn through life. And so are you. And so is every one of our listeners. And trying to control what's not controllable, let go. It's a waste of energy. If it was money, no one would do it. No one would spend the money to invest in, okay, let me control this when it's not. And the self-certainty, not even self-value, not even self-worth, but the certainty of self. When I become more and more certain about who I am how I behave, and what I am is much more than my body. And when I become friends with myself and I learn to regulate these energies, energy in motion, there's no need for control.
Well, that is the perfect ending. I like the way you said that, Daisy. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's it from us, guys, this week. There is your episode on Control Freaks. Let us know what you think. You can find us at baldandblonde.live. You can use the contact page there, or you can email us at ask@baldandblonde.live. Please support us while you're there. It helps us stay on air with all of the amazing programs coming to you in the future. And of course, please do visit selfrecoding.com as well, our major sponsor. Much thanks to you and Self Recoding Daisy for everything that you've done to bring this podcast to life. So that's it today. We'll be back next week with another episode. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.